Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Diggs. There's a new generation of affordable bionic hands, low-cost prosthetics that can perform common tasks, gripping a cup, holding a phone, typing on a keyboard without relying on bulky hardware, external compute, or invasive interfaces. Imagine that you're working on a team bringing one of these products to market, and your job is to build the control software for the device. Your design brief is short and sweet. Make it functional, real-time, and cheap. The last word is non-negotiable. You're not prototyping for a lab. You're building for production at scale, and your hardware stack reflects that. There's nothing expensive there at all. No GPUs, no custom silicon, just a microcontroller module, a few sensors, and a 3D printed chassis. Your primary input signal is EMG, gathered from the terminal end of the user's limb. But if you've worked with EMG before, you know the limits. It's noisy, it's variable, and it's ambiguous. A single muscle firing pattern can mean different things depending on context. One user might flex to grab a doorknob, another to grasp a cup. The signals are biologically real, but semantically weak. That's your problem space, intention recognition. If you misclassify the user's intent, the hand grabs the wrong way. If the grip doesn't match the object, the fingers slip, or the object is crushed, or the hand locks into an unusable position, or worse. And in a constrained embedded environment, you don't have the luxury of adding LiDAR or tactical arrays or high-res cameras. What you need is a second signal. Something fast, cheap, and good enough. Not perfect classification, just something that gives your system enough context to validate or veto a planned grip. That's where today's paper comes in. The authors are proposing a lightweight visual classification pipeline that can be embedded directly into prosthetic hardware. It uses a downscaled MobileNet V2 variant called FOMO, deployed on an ESP32 CAM module to recognize the basic shape of objects in the hand's field of view. Not fine-grained shape descriptions, not semantic labels, just categorical geometry. Sphere, box, cylinder, that's it. But if you can get that right, you can correlate it with grasp type and make smarter decisions about when and how to actuate the fingers. The innovation here isn't the model architecture or even the classification logic, it's the trade-off profile. The authors are giving up precision in exchange for deployability. They're sidestepping the full image recognition stack and instead solving for shape classification with low power, limited RAM, and inference time measured in milliseconds. This is not a vision system for a robotic arm on an assembly line. It's not meant to track moving targets or perform segmentation. It's a support signal, a sanity check, a second opinion that sits alongside the myoelectric controller and helps filter out invalid grasps before they activate. And the question this paper tries to answer is, can a $10 camera running a slimmed down neural net improve the reliability of a prosthetic hand? Even if it just gets you from 85% to 89%, can it do it? And is that worth it? On today's episode, that's what we're going to find out. We'll start by taking a look at how a low-cost optoelectric module can be used to classify everyday objects into geometric categories in real time. We'll then walk through how the system links shape classification to grasp selection. Then we'll turn to the architecture and training of the neural network. Finally, we'll look at the performance of the system in both static and real-world test conditions. Let's get started. Many real-time object detectors fail immediately when you try to run them on embedded hardware, not just because of compute limitations, but because their memory footprint, initialization latency, and tensor ops are optimized for GPU acceleration, not for microcontrollers. This paper avoids that trap by using a highly streamlined network architecture called FOMO, running on an ESP32 CAM module. FOMO stands for Fast Object Localization with Mobile Networks, and it's a custom variant of MobileNet V2. The authors use a particular configuration of FOMO designed for ultra-low power deployments. That configuration is built around a series of depth-wise separable convolutions, inverted residual blocks with linear bottlenecks, and rectified linear unit 6 activations. But the most important constraint here is the width factor. In this implementation, the authors apply a width factor of 0.35, which aggressively scales down the number of filters in each layer. This bottleneck forces the network to do more with less, compressing activations while preserving discriminative features. The network structure starts with a standard convolution to extract low-level features. Then a stack of inverted residual blocks progressively expands, convolves, and projects the feature maps. These blocks are organized with alternating stride values and filter counts that follow the canonical MobileNet V2 design, but with reduced depth and filter width at every stage. The deep, separable convolutions ensure that spatial and channel-wise operations are decoupled, which minimizes floating point ops. Batch normalization is used throughout the architecture to stabilize training, and linear activation layers cap off each projection phase to retain information during compression. Critically, this implementation omits any form of object segmentation or bounding box regression. It's not doing anchor-based detection or pixel-wise semantic labeling. Instead, it's solving a simpler problem: category-level classification of a single object in view. That decision massively reduces model complexity. The model receives a 240 by 240 color image as input and returns one of five discrete shape categories: background, sphere, rectangle, vertical cylinder, and horizontal cylinder. There's no coordinate regression or multi-label output. All of this runs, as I said, on a little CAM module with a 2-megapixel camera, built-in Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, USB support, and modest CPU. It is not designed for heavy inference workloads, but FOMO makes that irrelevant. The image is captured and processed on device in under 2 milliseconds per frame. That makes it fast enough for real-time prosthetic control without offloading to a host system or edge accelerator. Compared to alternatives like YOLO V5 or DeepSort, this setup wins on portability and power efficiency. YOLO-based models would need to run on a Jetson Nano or a Coral TPU, both of which introduce power and cost constraints that aren't viable in low-cost bionic hands. The FOMO-based approach requires no external accelerators, no active cooling, and no dense compute. The entire inference stack runs natively on the ESP32 controller using onboard memory. The trade-off is classification precision. Without multi-scale feature fusion or spatial context windows, the network can miss edge cases or misclassify objects with ambiguous geometry. But for this use case, static object shape recognition under constrained conditions, the trade-off is acceptable. You're not trying to detect and segment cluttered scenes. You need to reliably recognize whether the object in front of the prosthesis looks roughly like a ball, a box, or a tube. To train the object classifier, the authors assembled an image dataset captured using a dual camera version of the same hardware. The focus was on capturing clean, static images of the objects belonging to one of the five predefined shape categories I mentioned before. These shape classes were selected to align with common grasp types used in upper limb prosthetics, and they reflect the practical range of daily objects a prosthetic user might encounter. To ensure that the classifier could distinguish signal from noise, the training set also included a background class consisting of images taken without any objects in view. This is a small but critical inclusion. In embedded vision systems, background clutter can quickly lead to false positives if not explicitly accounted for. By including background-only samples during training, the model learned to suppress non-object areas during inference. The images were split 80-20 between training and test sets. With each shape category, two distinct objects were used for training, and a third, held-out object, was reserved exclusively for testing. This kind of object-level leave-one-out validation is useful when the total dataset is small and you want to validate shape generalization without introducing bias from previously seen contours or textures. All training was done on raw captured images. Given the target deployment on real-time hardware, this is a fair choice. It avoids the risk of synthetic image artifacts introducing bias into a model that is meant to run in controlled conditions onboard the prosthesis. Evaluation was done using an F1 score metric rather than raw accuracy. The confusion matrix and per-class performance scores were derived from the same test set, which included novel object instances that the model had not seen during training. That means the results reflect true generalization and not just memorization of specific object examples. So, how did it do? The system held up well in most categories, especially for spherical and vertically aligned cylindrical objects, where it consistently produced stable classifications even on unseen instances. but there were clear limitations. Rectangular objects, especially large ones or those viewed from off angles, were frequently misclassified or partially ignored, likely due to their tendency to blend into the background. And while the F1 score captures both precision and recall, it doesn't fully account for the impact of misclassification in a prosthetic context, where a simple wrong guess could lead to a failed grasp or dropped object. So while the results demonstrate real generalization, they also highlight the system's sensitivity to viewpoint, occlusion, and scene complexity. So in short, it is not the most accurate system in existence, but it is arguably the most practical one for this very specific use case. Low-cost bionic hands, where size, cost, and power are non-negotiable constraints. It delivers close enough results without the overhead of point clouds, multi-view geometry, or external optics. And for that reason, it clears a bar that most of the current systems in the literature do not even attempt to reach. If you want to see how they built this system, I highly recommend that you download the paper. It includes the full model architecture configuration, hardware layout and integration strategy, and a detailed breakdown of how the object classification pipeline fits into a real-time control loop. You also get access to confusion matrices, F1 score breakdowns across shape categories, and logging formats for real-world deployment. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. This episode was written and performed by myself, Malcolm Diggs, and it was produced by Luis Lopez. Hope you enjoyed it. Signing off, see you tomorrow.